This is the Everything EV Podcast by EV Powered.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Everything EV Podcast, a weekly show that brings you the latest news, views and opinions from every corner of the EV industry. I'm your host, Charlie Atkinson, and in these episodes we'll be discussing everything to do with electric travel, so whether it be cars, bikes, boats or even planes, we'll have it covered. We'll also be speaking to people from within the industry to get their views on the EV space, as well as other features such as electric car reviews, electric motorsport coverage, and much, much more along the way. This podcast is available on all streaming platforms, so be sure to subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from to receive every single episode as soon as it's released. And please do go back and check out all our other episodes too. This week, for the 100th episode of the Everything EV Podcast, we're joined by Roddy Basso, the founder of the E1 Electric Raceboat Series. Roddy is the perfect guest for our 100th episode, as today marks 100 days until the very first E1 event, and so Roddy is here to tell us all about the series, the challenges he has faced along the way, and how it has been supported by superstars including Tom Brady, Sergio Perez and Rafael Nadal. Roddy, thanks for taking the time to chat with me today, and also a special thank you as well, because this is our 100th episode of the Everything EV Podcast, so appreciate you being our special guest for today. So obviously you're here today to chat about the E1 electric boat series. So before we just get into everything about the series, could you just give us a bit of an overview to the series, and the sort of inspiration behind E1 and where the idea came from?
Sure. First of all, thank you very much for the invite. I do appreciate it. I follow what you're doing since the beginning, and I do appreciate also the interest that EV Podcast has shown towards the E1 so far. 100 is a big number, so congratulations to get to this point. And it's a number that is also in our heart in these days, because as per today, we are 100 days away from the very first race of the E1 World Championship, which is going to happen in Jeddah, 2nd and 3rd of February. And so we are all super excited, in the meantime, super busy to make it happen. So 100, again, is a very important, is a magic number also for us. So in terms of your question, E1 is an incredible story, I have to say. I mean, I feel really blessed to be part of it and to actually have started this process when in 2020, in full COVID mode, I was doing some exercise and some jogging with Alejandro Agag, who I've met when I was managing director in McLaren Technologies. And we were talking about future visions and projects and also investment in sports. And he mentioned that he had invested in a startup led by Sofie Horn, our Norwegian designer. And this startup had the idea of building electric boats based on foils and on electric propulsion. So as an engineer, and since I've met Alejandro when I developed together with my group of engineers in McLaren and Lucid Air, the battery for Generation 2 in Formula E, Alejandro was asking me suggestion and how to address this project. So in 24 hours, I went back home and I started writing what represented 70-80% of the final investor deck that we have presented to our only investor, PIF, and convinced them and Alejandro to build fundamentally a Formula E on water. So this is how everything started. And I have to say, in those days, I also was in a sabbatical year. I really wanted to, after so many medals, I've been working for NASA, for Ferrari, Red Bull, for Magneti Marelli, and for McLaren, which was an amazing experience. But after all these roles, I felt the need to really look at what I was going to do when in my future. And so I needed some resting time, some pause from the corporate life, and decided what to do. I always felt this need to become a technology entrepreneur, and this is exactly what I'm doing now. So it is amazing. So I will say there is a lot of personal stories behind E1 for me. But overall, if I have to zoom out, E1 is a story of passion, because I'm so passionate about water and the lifestyle in coastal areas, harbors of this world, and so on. Of course, competence, because I had the chance to put together what I learned in motorsport and in high-end automotive. And through our partner and supplier, I kept adding other competences from sailing and powerboating. And of course, network, because if I didn't know Alejandro, if I didn't meet Sophie, this project will not exist. So it's an amazing story. And, you know, all these ethics, all these ingredients are really embedded in all our decks, in all our narrative, and the people really, really buys in. So I have to say the feedback from everyone that comes across is really amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a fantastic story, and it's great that you, like you said, 100 is a magic number for you guys at the minute. But I just wanted to go back to your background. You just touched on that you worked for the likes of McLaren and Ferrari previously. So I just wanted to see if you could go into a bit more detail of your career so far. But also, I find it interesting that we're in this age of electrification at the moment. So having worked for some of those sort of legacy brands, like you said, Ferrari and McLaren, at which point did you recognise that electric vehicles were going to be the way forward, or that they were going to be a big movement within the electric vehicle, within the automotive industry? Sorry.
Well, listen, as an engineer, you know, we are raised in the pursuit of efficiency. So I would not even call it the electrification process or the electric revolution, because this creates a lot of biases in people and a lot of resistance to the change, which is in our nature as human being. Of course, this resistance sometimes, actually quite often, is driven by interest or paradigms. You know, imagine if I own a company that is making exhaust pipes, how can I embrace the electrification? I mean, of course, I have a big interest in the other side. So the way to overcome all this is that we, and also anyone, we have this kind of mindset. We need to embrace a change towards a more efficient world, because the planet is clearly and scientifically asking us to do so. Okay. So I will say, to answer your question, when did I see this revolution coming? Well, I feel this need every morning. Every morning I wake up and I really ask myself, what's new and how can I make whatever I do in a more efficient way? So, you know, the integralists or the extremists may say, you want to be low impact, just don't do anything. Don't build any sport platform anymore. Let's not do events, because so people will not travel. So there will be no activities around the coastal area. And so you reduce the pollution. Well, this is not the way I am. I really want to make sure, having two kids of 11 and 8 years old, I want to make sure that they also will have the chance to enjoy profoundly the waters and the coastal areas of this world for the future. And so I want to make sure that we keep living and the human beings keep enjoying the coastal areas, the waters, and the sport events, or in general, the events in general, by trying to reduce as much as possible the impact. Now we can go into a different debate, carbon offset, impact. Of course, I'm working very seriously, and I'm blessed to be surrounded by excellence like Carlos Duarte, but not only. We have a very strong group of consultants that are guiding us in designing everything we do and reducing the impact as much as possible. Because again, I want to make sure that the sport keeps going. Sport is life. So for me, it's an amazing opportunity for inspiration, for technology demonstration, and for communication, of course, of what's doable and, you know, how to spread positive emotions. And, you know, in these days, I'm meeting incredible people. When I met Tom Brady, Virat Kohli, Nadal, Sergio Perez. Every time you shake hands with these people, there is a different level of energy, of drive, of discipline. And they all embrace it, one, because of course they are competitive people, so they love the sport, they love the competition, but they all said that they embraced E1 because of the impact. So they want to leave a positive sign to this world, and they also do it for the generation to come. So, of course, I have a bit, let's say, enriched my answer compared to your question, maybe even more farther down the line. But change is not an option. Today, change is a need, because, again, people like Carlos Duarte, number one marine biologist of the world, is telling us that the problem is there. So there's no, the denial as well is there, but the problem with the environment is there, and we got to do something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose what you guys are doing, it's the perfect advert for electrification as well, just like in Extreme E and Formula E as well. And I know you touched on your meeting with Alejandro Agag as well. So I was just wondering, what lessons can you guys learn from the likes of Extreme E and from Formula E as well for developing this series?
Well, we had so many lessons. And of course, having Alejandro as our guide into this project has been an incredible opportunity, because the lessons are coming for sure on the technical side, on the sport marketing side, on the finance, because Alejandro is the number one in terms of sport marketing and finance. He's the only human being who has been 3 world championship in 10 years, less than 10 years. And also on the business model side, I would say. I'll make a few examples, because of course the examples are hundreds, you know, like our magic number, but let me do some example. For example, the first lesson on the technical side is the need for an independent source of energy, of electric energy. So we are looking and collaborating already with stakeholders and sponsors who want to showcase how you can build, you can generate electricity in a independent way from the grid. Sometimes we will have to use the grid in some location, but most of the time we will use our own facility. They will produce electricity either with solar panels, green generators, or hydrogen-based generators, and we will then use battery storage to then charge our boats. I think this is an important message. And when I did write my presentation in 24 hours, as I mentioned earlier, one of the legacy programs that I have actually included from the beginning, and it's a point that everyone loves, is the legacy. So when we go racing somewhere, we offer to the local authority the chance to keep the charging infrastructure. You know, so we, within the lessons from Extreme E, Formula E, but not only, also from the road, you know, from the road cars. One of the first complaints is about the lack of infrastructure for charging the car. This is the first point that everyone is in denial of the change, hangs on. What we want to do with our, of course, is going to be a prototype example, but still significant. We want to leave a charger so that people can start thinking of buying an electric rib or an electric prototype, since the market is starting showing this kind of vessels. And this is something that we are, of course, very keen on. And not only, we may find in the season 2, the charger already, so we have to ship less material around. So the chain of efficiency, you know, goes only better and better with this example. On the business model side, I will say that one of the key lessons is that you need to, when you are a startup and you build a new sport, because that's what we're doing, you need to be very well aware of the industry you feel to belong to, okay? And one of the biggest threats for a startup life is to think to be in the media industry, which is something that simply doesn't work. Because to be in media industry, you need to tick a few boxes that are very much related to the eyeballs, to how many was your media reach. But you are a startup. We need to start. So February next year is going to be the first race ever of a World Electric Championship, which, by the way, we have in exclusivity for the next 25 years. How can you be playing in the media world, in the media industry, with the numbers and with the stage of the company we are in? So what we are doing, what we have been doing, is to consciously work and believe to be in the event industry, which is still an industry of billions, okay? And so our focus in the first 3 years is to build incredible city events. Cities is the main source of revenues for us in the beginning. So we have to make sure that we celebrate the cities, we provide value to the cities. And this is what we're going to do, not only through the events, but also throughout all the season. We will keep talking and enriching our narrative by celebrating all the cities of the calendar as belonging to a blue city league or club, if you want, which means like-minded cities and people that are either belonging to iconic places or places where the sustainability is a big issue. Think of Venice, Jeddah, Rotterdam as well, or where there are competences on how to address the efficiency revolution that we all need to embrace for a better future of the planet. So this was another big lesson, I have to say, from the previous experience of Alejandro's electric empire. And this is where I set the direction for our organization, for our venture.
Yeah. And I suppose when you're building a series like this and you want more eyeballs onto the sport and everything you guys are doing, I know you mentioned that you've got some famous faces as owners signed up to the E1 series as well. You mentioned Tom Brady, the likes of Virat Kohli and Rafael Nadal. So how important has their part in this series been to growing the series, not from just like a marketing side, but also you mentioned as well that they're involved because they want to highlight the efficiency and the sustainability of what this series represents.
Yeah, so, well, brilliant question, first of all, because again, we go back to the strategy and the business model. As a previous motorsport person, the first thing that I try to do is to try to talk to the OEMs of the marine industry, the big players, and try to involve them into the competition, because this is how my mind is shaped and has been shaped since more than 20 years. I have to say, in the marine industry, the OEMs don't get the racing yet, because I don't give up. I'm sure I'm going to bring them around the table. And so we, you know, as a proper startup process, we had to change completely direction. And thanks to the inspiration and the vision of Alejandro, and after having noticed the interest of Sergio Perez to belong to the E1 championship, we started to say, okay, in powerboarding, there's no famous driver. There's no famous, you know, there's no Adrian Newey. There's no Rory Byrne, Ross Brawn of this world, and so on. We need characters. We need some people that can really attract the people, the eyeballs, the followership, and so on. So to cut a long story short, we started pursuing the route of celebrities, and we are incredibly blessed not to pay the celebrities, but they spontaneously, after, of course, the pitch, are joining, and they are also investing in E1. Because, of course, the license that we provide through our championship to the teams can grow, and I'm sure will grow in value as has happened in Formula E, Extreme E, and so forth. So that's a financial element. In terms of feeling, they do love being part of the lifestyle of the clubs, the water, the coastal area. So there is an element of passion, which, again, is reflected also on this side, and most importantly, they want to leave a positive impact and contribute to that. So by putting together only the celebrities that we have already on board, we have allegedly 500 million followers by adding the followership of the celebrities that we have involved. And we are now targeting to be south of a billion with the future celebrity that we will announce from now to December. Fingers crossed, it's not done yet, but we may be in the position to claim to be south of a billion followership through our celebrity that will be very active by agreement on promoting and showcasing what we're doing in the E1 World Championship from 2024 onwards.
Wow, no, that's fantastic news. And I just wanted to come on to, obviously, I'm aware that this is an electric boat competition. So I wanted to focus on the electric boats themselves. And I wondered if you could just give us a bit of an idea of the sort of technical capabilities of the boat. How fast will they be going? How fast can they charge it? And just things like that. So what will the electric boats look like on a race weekend?
So of course I can, because I am the father engineer of this project. So I've been, when I started, I was by myself, and I've been specifying all the parameters of the boat and put together incredible people and organizations in order to be where we are now. The boat can go up to 50 knots, and this limit is due to the presence of the foil. So physics tells us that around, beyond 45 knots, the fluidodynamics around the foils gets more tricky, and the risk of cavitation, which means the lack of lift, is there. And so our competition will be very much around the sensitivity and the capability of the drivers to understand when they're pushing the limit and getting into this cavitation zone, and the teams that will have a limited time window to work on the foil in order to improve the surface and make it as more smooth and efficient as possible. So this will be a key element of our sport and also of our show as a sport, because we'll introduce a random unpredictability on the final result of the race. So without naming the names, it will be very difficult that a boat who's going to be first at the first mark will win the race. It's not necessary that this will happen, because the cards, by design and I would say by physics, can be mixed up very easily during the race. So this is very fascinating. We have 200 horsepower. The boat is 1.2 tons of weight, carbon fiber. I know it's not sustainable, but we are racers. We needed a light and agile vessel in order to make sure that the show is compelling. Our battery is 37 kilowatt hour, and the weight is 200 kilograms. It's made by Kreisel, an Austrian company recently acquired by John Deere, a huge group from US. And actually, Kreisel told the CEO of Kreisel told us that one of the elements why John Deere has done the investment is because of E1, because of the involvement in this new journey and the interest in the marine industry. Because I should have mentioned this earlier, but if you look around, there is an estimate of a value of more than 10 billion for the industry starting from 2027 onwards for the sales of electric vessels. So there is a huge interest from all the industries. The format. We will have 2 days competition. One is only for testing, and then we have one big day when we will have qualifying and race. The qualifying is going to be a match race with a velodrome-like kind of race course, or qualifying course, I should say, where you will see only on the finish line how close or far the boats will be. And of course, it's based on lap time. You know that we have a male and a female driver, as Extreme E does. But compared to Extreme E, we don't have a swap of seat, but everyone will have their own session, and they need to alternate the drivers from a session to another. Then, as a classic, we will have a pole position classification, you move into the race where there's going to be a quarter of final, match races with four boats at a time. Then you have another session where whoever missed the quarter of final will have another chance, and then semi-final and final. And this is how we will define the winner. I think these are the main parameters and the technical characteristics of the boat. I can also mention that the choice of the foils has been made considering the importance of the agility of the boat more than the top speed. And this is, again, somehow linked to the foils. And we have decided to go for the foils because of the electrification. You know, that the battery, the state of the art of the battery is still heavy. So we needed to find efficiency. And by lifting the boat off the water after 10 knots, we can reduce the density of course, we move from water to air. So you drive it like an aircraft, and this is not me, but coming from the pilots driving the boat. And by doing so, I mean, we know that the water has got is 800 times more dense than the air. And so the resistance to acceleration gets an incredible improvement. And also I would like to mention that we had only 9 months, a bit like a birth, to build the first prototype and validate what I put in place. And so we had to take a few shortcuts, typical of racing. We need to focus on what's important. So what we have done together with Mercury is re-engineer an existing outboard. By doing so, which means by removing the thermal engine and putting an electric propulsion, we have increased the efficiency from 27% electric thermal engine to 98% of efficiency. So whatever the potential energy coming from fuel or battery, we are, of course, much more efficient. We haven't done any specific discovery worth a Nobel Prize, but this is what you get when you switch into the electric propulsion.
Yeah. Well, it sounds incredible. Well, I just wanted to focus, having spoken to you today and found out that this has been sort of your brainchild and you've developed this from the ground up. And like you said, you've been across every element of developing this series. Obviously, there are going to be some challenges that come up along the way. But what has been some of the most challenging elements of getting this series to where it is today for you personally?
On the personal side? Well, on the personal side, it's the plate spinning exercise. So, you know, I've been involved in conversation moving from the diode of the inverter to the catering of the hospitality. And I have to say, I smile while I say that, because of course it sounds nuts. And in fact, it is, I have to say, with the hindsight, especially in the beginning, of course, because we've started with a very small group of people. Now, I feel much more relief because we have incredible people in the team. In E1 team, we are now 30, about 30. And I have to say, in all the areas, we have passionate and competent people and people I trust, I can trust. And this is a huge relief. So now I can actually do the CEO, be less involved in the micro details, but only making sure that the direction is set very, very accurately. Which is something that I need to do every day because, I mean, of course, there's no bad intention from the team members. But naturally, you know, the CEO is like the captain of a boat. Again, pun intended. So you need to, I love sailing. And when you go sailing, you need to keep correcting and making sure that you are in the right direction. And this is what I'm doing now. So now it's becoming much more human, even though sometimes I need to go and deep down into the finest details, and especially on the technical side. I mean, on the engineering side, I'm still owning all the process and everything. And I continuously need to set the direction and making sure there is the right collaborative spirit across the field.
Yeah. And so, like you said at the very start of this episode, we're 100 days away from the very first E1 series race. What's left on the to-do list from now to that first race? What's what else needs to be done?
So what the question you're asking me is the question that I've asked every morning in what I call the priority meeting, where we have 6 points and that I'm happy to share with you. First of all, we need a boat. Okay, and we are producing the boat. We have 8 boats, 4 boats already done, 4 in the pipeline, and we need another 2 because we will have minimum 8 teams. Okay, this is our target. There is a strong chance we will have 10, but I have to say for season 1, I hope not to go beyond 8 teams because we need to understand many things and it's important to walk before running. So we need a boat, we need pilots. So I have developed together with a person that we know from Formula E, Extreme E, and so on. I have developed an academy to train the pilots. When you are a powerboating pilot, you need sometimes to get used to a different control and driving style. So you need some training. But of course, powerboat driver have a small advantage. They have an advantage. I don't know how big, but there is an advantage. But we were keen to build a new sport. And to do so, I love the concept of cultural diversity. So we will have also, actually, we have already also athletes coming from e-scooter, BMX. I mean, you call it young sport, new sports, related to speed anyway. And we have been training them first on conventional ribs. And then there are 3 stages. And the last stage is to jump on the race boat. This is how we call our race boats. And then prove yourself and be ready for Jeddah. So pilots is the other priority. Then, of course, we need to build events. So event production, design and production. And we are absolutely on track with this. Then we need the marketing tactic plan. We need the content tactical plan. We need the race format, which is defined. And we are refining the rules in these days, but we will be very soon ready for it. And then we need the media product. And actually, after Rotterdam, where in the beginning of September, we went in the Worldport Days with 4 boats, and we showcases for the first time our championship, our format, in front of 400,000 people over the weekend, because these are the numbers involved. There was a huge milestone for us. And we had another huge milestone, which is less public, but personally so strong. 2 weeks ago, we were at Lake Maggiore. We tested all the technologies related to connectivity, timing, and media product. And the result is eye-watering. I think we have invested a lot on the media product, and we will have a incredibly sexy product to broadcast around the world.
Incredible. Incredible. And Roderick, it's been so great to chat to you today. And just to finish things up, I was wondering if you could talk directly to the listeners, to someone who has maybe never heard of the E1 series before. If you could give your best sales pitch to what an E1 series event is going to be like on the race day in 100 days time, how do you convince them to tune in, to watch, or to buy a ticket to come along and to watch the spectacle? What is your best sales pitch for the E1 series?
Well, my best sales pitch is the following. I really invite all your listener to join a 1 day of wow effect. It will not be only about E1, but there will be a celebration of the city where we will race. There will be so many side events, which we call it side, but that's not very generous because we will definitely celebrate everything about the water sports. So we are working with local stakeholders in order to make sure that we keep celebrating all the possible sports that you can do on water and all the fun related to it, because we want to push people to practice sports because it's so important for life, for growing, for keeping in good shape, be healthy and have fun. There will be a lot of cultural element as well. In our fan zone, we will have an exhibition of contemporary art for local artists that are making, crafting pieces of art related to sustainability. There will be technology, because we want to celebrate the local startups that are part of the clean tech industry. And there will be a lot of educational and thought leadership initiatives led by Carlos Duarte, who's going to share with us the status of the water where we're going to be racing. But we don't want to alarm people. Carlos will always bring good news because there are solutions. It's only a matter of being able to respond to the issues that we have. And it's only a matter of willing. E1 is going to be a fun day for families, for investors, and for people who enjoy to know more about the water lifestyle.
That's all for this episode. Many thanks for listening. And if you liked it, then please do check out all our other episodes. And be sure to subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from to make sure you get every single episode as soon as it's released. For daily news coverage, features, and much more, you can also head over to evpowered.co.uk. Thanks once again for listening, and we'll see you on the very next episode of the Everything EV podcast.